military comment, it was a description of the pastime, very nice pastime, between Sarva and Bhattacharya and Bhattacharya. Described in a very nice way, Sarva and Bhattacharya being transformed by Bhattacharya's association. And there is a little bit, and maybe a little bit from here, in the final of the nice verse and so forth. Because we can just ask Jamasmi, so in that same section, discussion, when Lord Krishna was just about to appear, where there is a prayer talking about Linda. Lord, I'll start by giving a little explanation. There was one very young but very nice disciple or companion whose name was Gopalacharya. Gopalacharya was from the same family as Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. Because they're from the same family, naturally, Gopalacharya had a lot of affection and concern for his brother, Sarvabhuma Bhattacharya. So, it's described ultimately, the description is given that you become liberated person, then you become a pure Vaishnava. That the 10 generations before you and 10 generations after you, you will also become liberated. Sometimes this question is there in someone's mind about my responsibilities and my parents and grandparents and children and grandchildren for me. So this is the reassurance that provided within the scripture that one will become pure devotee. The reason I'm telling this story also. It's in relation to this description that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had with Lord Chaitanya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya recited a verse from the Bhagavatam that talks about Lord Brahma's prayer. Lord Brahma stole the cows and the cow's voice. So he recited a verse, Sarvabhauma recited a verse from Lord Chaitanya, and his changed the words of the end of the verse. The words at the end of the verse were Mukti Pada, because that's the name of Krishna. Mukti means liberation. Mukti Pada means one who is the giver of liberation, so that's the name of Krishna. But he, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, changed the words, at the very end of the slope, to mean Bhakti instead of Mukti. I'll read the verses in the translation. Lord Chaitanya wanted to know why he gave this name. It's important to know also in the relation between Gopalacharya and Sarvabhauma. Sarvabhauma was a hardcore, dying-in-the-world impersonalist. He was the leader of all the other scholars. He was the most scholarly amongst the scholars. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's what immediately precedes what I'm going to read, the description of how Sarvabhauma, because Gopalacharya was Lord Chaitanya's devotee, at the same time the relative of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he made this meeting between the two of them. And he knew that if he could get his relative, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, to meet with Lord Chaitanya, wonderful things would happen, and they did. Of course, in this description, it also just in proper purpose is described how, again, this point of one was in a particular family, or if one becomes a liberated soul, pure devotee, others that are related to you also become liberated. But even other than relation, even those that, because there's the compassion within the heart of the Vaishnava, allows the conditioned soul to become free from their material condition. How that is possible is by the grace of the Lord. The one who is very dear to the Lord as a servant, automatically the one who becomes dear to that person also becomes dear to the Lord. It's the mundane example, or worldly example that Gautama gives is there's a very great man, very wealthy or famous star or politician or some worldly important personality. It may be very difficult to approach that personality. But if you see that person going for a walk and has his dog on a leash, and you just walk and make friends with the dog, they are nice, puppy dogs. And you do what your name, and you look at him. His name is Bowser. Immediately you make friends with him, whereas to approach him directly wouldn't be possible at all. Normally this analogy is used in terms of in approaching God, you must approach him through his representative. So it works that way also for those that are in the non-devotee class. How does the non-devotee become a devotee? In this case, how does the impersonalist become a personalist? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an impersonalist, my scholar. So that becomes possible by the compassion, the mercy of the Vaishnava. Because then that Vaishnava, because Krishna is very dear to them, and Krishna is in their heart, and Krishna is also in the heart of the conditioned soul. Knowing the desire of the devotee, Krishna changes the mentality of the conditioned soul through that association of the devotee. This story demonstrates that, because Gopal Acharya was naturally feeling some concern for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became also a Vaishnava. Lord Chaitanya showed his compassion upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya because Gopal Acharya was appealing, begging, pleading at the same time, please meet him. Please give him some of your association. Please give him your mercy. Otherwise, why would Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have taken time as he did? So much time that Chaitanya spent with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The first thing that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya did when they had a meeting, they went together to the Jagannath Temple, and in a very respectful way, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya provided a very nice seat for him to sit on. And then he sat on the floor. Respect because Sarvabhauma was a householder and Lord Chaitanya was a sannyasi. But then Sarvabhauma began instructing Lord Chaitanya about the Vedanta Sutra. And he did so continuously, non-stop, for 7 days and seven nights. And Lord Chaitanya simply sat there without saying one word, just listening. Almost like the description of Sukadeva Goswami. So at the end of the seventh day, the eighth morning, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was just desperate because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hadn't said anything. I said, I don't know whether you're understanding or not understanding, but even if you're not understanding, you usually when there's not understanding, there's some question. But you're not saying anything, so I don't understand your mind at all. But they kind of replied that I'm not saying anything because your explanation is just covering the meaning of the Vedanta Sutra with every word that you speak. So my mind is just becoming bewildered. I can understand the meaning of the Sutra without difficulty, but to understand your words is very difficult. So then, in a submissive manner, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, for the first time, inquired for Lord Chaitanya. And we went over this point in Isha Upanishad class yesterday evening. Prabhupada often in his presenting, they acknowledge the people in the West who use the same technique or method. They will allow the other person to say what they had to say until that thing that they had to say was no longer holding in the air, either by replying and just simply pointing out the deficiencies in one way or another. And then, when the other individual was ready to hear, then the explanation is made. Certainly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing like this in a very humble position. And in return, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also became very overwhelmed by Lord Chaitanya's humility and his stature, and then began inquiring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then after that discussion followed, that's where we're going to begin. So at the very end of the conclusion between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya, here's where we're starting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very elaborately explain the Harinama verse from Brihat Naradiya Purana. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was struck with wonder to hear this explanation. Gopinath Acharya reminded Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, quote, my dear Bhattacharya, what I foretold to you has now taken place. Because Gopinath Acharya said, if you will simply meet with Lord Chaitanya, you will be convinced of his very special spiritual position. We had a little argument about what about the time. is the basis is the Bodhinathacharya. The Bhattacharya said, because I'm related to you and you are devotee, by your mercy, the Lord has shown mercy to me. So this is this philosophical point of how one was unfortunate, without the opportunity for the Lord's mercy, gets that opportunity, by the mercy of another person. You are a first-class devotee, whereas I am in the darkness of logical arguments. Because of your relationship with the Lord has bestowed His benediction upon me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with this humble statement. After embracing the Bhattacharya, he said, now go see Lord Jagannath in the temple. After visiting the temple of Lord Jagannath, Sarvabhu Bhattacharya returned home with Jagadananda and Damodar. These two, Jagadananda and Damodar Pandit, are both associates of Lord Chaitanya, very close associates. The Bhattacharya brought large quantities of excellent food remnants blessed by Lord Jagannath. All this prasad was given to his Brahmin servants, along with Jagadananda and Damodar. Sarvabhu Bhattacharya then composed two verses on the leaf of a palm tree, giving, because that's how people wrote the palm. They didn't have typewriters or printing presses or pen names. Stylus, they would scratch markings. Writing. Giving the palm leaf to Jagadananda for the requested him to deliver to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the two, Jagadananda and Damodar, returned to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, bringing him both the prasadam and the palm leaf on which the two verses were composed. But then another devotee, Upanishad, took the palm leaf from the hands of Jagadananda before he could deliver it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Upanishad then copied the two verses on the wall outside the room. After this, Jagadananda then took the palm leaf from Upanishad and delivered it along with the prasad to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As soon as Lord Chaitanya read the two verses, he immediately tore up the palm leaf. However, all the devotees read these verses on the outside wall, and they all kept them within their hearts. The verses read as follows. Quote, these two verses are very famous verses. They're composed in the same way to describe it. Quote, let me take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has descended in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us all real knowledge, his devotional service, and detachment from whatever does not foster Krishna consciousness. He descended because he is an ocean of transcendental mercy. Let me surrender unto his Lord's feet. In the second verse. Let my consciousness, which is like a honeybee, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has just now appeared as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to teach the ancient system of devotional service to himself. This system has almost been lost due to the influence of time. Lord Chaitanya didn't like the verse because it was glorified. And specifically, it was addressing him as the personality of Godhead. Of course, the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were already accepting him in that way. It was very nice verses, and it felt like the first of these verses. They begin Vairagya Vidya Nidya Bhakti Yoga Shikshatam Eka Purusha Purana. That when this reference that Prabhupada uses when addressing these verses has to do with the quality that devotional service has immediately and simultaneously establishing renunciation and also knowledge. This very same understanding is explained in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Sanskrit, just when devotional service is being performed, causeless knowledge and detachment follow. It's the quality of devotional service, or a way in which someone can, a standard can be applied to tell whether there's genuine devotion to God. In other words, just like if you want to test if this electric socket has juice in it or not, if you plug in an appliance and turn it on, and then the appliance will do what mine is supposed to do, or it plays the tape, or whether it'll turn the fan, or make the air conditioner go. If the electricity is there, in the on position, then the appliance does what it's supposed to do. So also, this is one way that genuine devotion can be tested. So if someone is, in fact, delivering knowledge of Krishna in the cyclic succession in a proper manner, the test is Vairagya Vinaya, Nidya Bhakti Yoga. Just like Prabhupada described this translation book of Bhagavad Gita, right there in the introduction, Prabhupada said why he added yet another translation of Bhagavad Gita to the already existing translation of Bhagavad Gita. The reason was, Prabhupada explains very simply, that some woman who came to hear when he was lecturing asked Prabhupada for a copy of Bhagavad Gita that he recommended for her to read. And he said, I could not honestly recommend any of the translation of Bhagavad Gita, therefore I presented it to Bhagavad Gita as it is. And the proof that it's Bhagavad Gita as it is, Prabhupada, that is, that from all these other translations, where has devotional service become manifest? From those that have read those other translations of Bhagavad Gita. I can personally vouch for having read 8 different translations of Bhagavad Gita before I even knew about the Hare Krishna Yoga. And they certainly didn't establish my practice of devotional service. I continued to read them because I knew that there was something very wonderful there, although I couldn't figure it out. Much like what Chaitanya replied to Sarabhuma Acharya. Without the sutra, I'll be glad to discuss with you, but your descriptions are just confusing. So Vairagya Vidya Nidya Bhakti Yoga. When knowledge is coming in a spontaneous way, a natural way, and renunciation is coming in a natural way, because Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita that what we call renunciation, or what one calls renunciation, is the same as yoga, or linking oneself to the Supreme. Someone who is actually renounced is someone who is actually connected to Krishna. The plug is stuck into the electric socket. If there's electricity there in the socket, it will also come to the wire. Circuit breaker is dead, or there's no juice in the wall, and you can't even shut it off if you didn't pay your bill, you won't get electricity coming from where. If it's disconnected from the power hose, the power source, the power plant, Con Ed, your appliance won't work. Similarly, efforts to even the study of Bhagavad Gita, alone, is repeatedly described in this way. Academic scholarship alone does not produce knowledge of God, or can't produce that which will connect you with God either. Our tiny brain power cannot extend to the point where it can reach God. The next verse in the Brahma Samhita describes this. Sankhasu Kofi Sadasamparamyo Vayora Tatumun Somuni Kundavana. Kumuni is a learned person by extending their mental power as far as they can for millions upon millions of years. Still the spiritual realm is beyond that. In other words, they're just on a different is meditation. And so many people are very concerned with meditation. Very popular. Meditation is meant to fix the mind on the Supreme Absolute Truth. But how that Supreme Absolute Truth can be reached by the mind, that is the science of devotional service. If one doesn't have the science, just like if I don't know one last little thing about electricity, if this electric socket is dead, there's no way that I can get it to work. Except I can go check the circuit board, but beyond that, I don't know much more. An electrician can do it. Only knows the science. So also, this is the point of making this. This is the test of who is one who knows the science of devotional service. From that person, Vairagya Vidya, Bhakti Yoga, devotional service becomes manifest in others whom that person comes in contact with. And detachment from worldly mindedness. And there are many ways that one can be worldly minded, even thinking that I'm very renounced. Pride is another worldly mindedness. And I'm very proud about how I don't care about anything. I'm just completely detached about everything. I just walk around oblivious to anybody and anything. I'm very proud of that. Okay. That's another misconception of self. Because the real renounced position is to know who you actually are in relation to the stream. Along with that renunciation, the simultaneous sign is knowledge of who you are. And how can one define who you are, who an individual is, outside of understanding the individual relation to God? In other words, how can you describe a ray of sun without describing that ray in relation to the sun? Your explanation of the ray is incomplete without its the understanding of how it comes from the sun, the connection to the sun planet. Or any example like that, where the part is being described separate from the whole, the leaf of the plant, or the finger of the body, how could you describe all the intricate construction of your little finger without simultaneously understanding and describing its connection to the rest of the body, the circulatory system, the nervous system, the muscular system, everything else, the skeletal system. It's all part of a larger whole. The part cannot be known separate from the whole. At least it's not complete. So knowledge means to understand the complete whole. This understanding of the complete whole comes, at least this is what Sarabhuma has described in the times, about what the time is coming directly from him. And the other devotees, this devotee had stopped Jagatananda and Damodar, had a verse written on the wall, did so because he knew what Bhagavatam was reaction. He knew that he didn't want the Bhagavatam to not allow the glorification of himself to be heard. He destroyed the leaf. So before there was a chance for the leaf to be destroyed, the verse was written. These two verses composed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya will always declare his name and fame as loudly as a pounding drum, because they become pearl necklaces around the necks of all the devotees. This verse describes finding oneself more taller than a tree, more insignificant than a blade of grass, ready to offer all respects to others without any expectation that others will offer respect to you in return. In this state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So Haridas Thakur said that this verse should be strong and worn around the neck all the time. In other words, one should always be in his consciousness. And when one is always in his consciousness, one will always be able to glorify the personality of God. One will always be able to think in a devotional way in relation to God. So the same metaphor is used here, that these two verses are so much appreciated. Remember that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya only very recently just quickly summarized the history of Queen Knuckles. But he was the number one chief scholarly opponent, speaking everything contradictory against Lord Chaitanya's teaching, his life, his activity. Sarvabhauma became such a wonderful appreciator, and actually eventually he became very advanced devotee. So his verses were so much appreciated by the associates of Lord Chaitanya that they took this verse and also worked to carry it with them, like four necklaces around the necks of all the devotees. Indeed, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became another little devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He did not know anything but the service of the Lord. The Bhattacharya always chanted the holy name of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, son of Mother Sachi, and reservoir of all the qualities. Indeed, chanting the holy names became his meditation. One day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offering obeisances, began to recite the verse. He began to quote one of Lord Brahma's prayers from Srimad Bhagavatam, and made reference to it. But he changed two syllables at the end of the verse. The verse read, quote, and this is also a very famous verse, Tathena Kampam Susanikshamana, Punjan Evadma Kampam Pakam, Prabhupada quote this verse on as well. One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a modified candidate for becoming your unalloyed devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately pointed out, in that verse, the word mukti pade is mukti pade, but you have changed it. What is your intention? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, the awakening of pure love of Godhead, which is the result of devotional service, far surpasses liberation from material bondage. For those averse to devotional service, emerging into the demonic cultures is a kind of punishment. So there are some nice descriptions within Srimad Bhagavatam that give us this information that pure love of Godhead is already there within the heart of every living entity. And reinforces that statement by saying that it's not possible that it can come from some outside source. This is a misunderstanding sometimes, that people think that within the Vedic system or structure, as well as perhaps within other religious systems, that you have to get something that you don't have from another person. In fact, this was the disagreement, or one of the disagreements that the Protestant Reformation had with the Catholic Church. The argument of the Protestant reformers was that you don't need an intermediary between yourself and God. They were saying this very same point, that you already have a relationship with God, and you already have love of God, so therefore you just need to pray to God and worship God, and you don't need anybody else. However, this that the Vedic scriptures confirm that love of God is already there and it cannot come from any other source. But at the same time, the process of devotional service is delivered. Because that's also God's arrangement. In previous, all of the previous self-realized souls have reached this point of self-realization by receiving the knowledge through the cycle of succession. Why is that? Why is that arrangement made? That's the Lord's arrangement, that one cannot approach the, in essence, one cannot approach him directly. The understanding is also there. If you want to open the window, you know, there's a quote described in that devotion that where Krishna says, if someone claims to be my devotee, I say that he is not my devotee. The one who is the servant of 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 my devotee, that is my devotee. One takes that humble position. One cannot approach God directly. Of course, prayer can be offered directly. Just like Virginia, Hare Krishna, this, we're speaking God's name, and that way we're associating with Him directly. But how is it that we're associating with Him? Only by hearing that understanding from Srila Prabhupada, or from the disciple succession, to know that we should say Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. Or same idea with Christianity. The original teacher, Christ, came to give the message of the kingdom of God. And give the liver of God's word. So on the strength of that, then he said, you should pray as follows. So one prays as God, as Christ instructed. Then the praying is to reach God, but it's through the instructions of Christ. In other words, there's that instrument that God works through. And this is a very natural thing. It's because one was very dear to another person, just take it in a worldly sense. If I had a very good friend, and this very good friend makes friends with another person, immediately there would be some kindness exchanged between the friend of my friend when my friend introduces him to me. We find that all the time. So that's also there naturally in the spiritual world. One was very, very dear to Krishna. When such a person is approached, and say if I approach Srila Prabhupada as my spiritual master, and somehow or other I gain Srila Prabhupada's favor, then automatically Krishna's favor is there upon me. Naturally. This is the very same lesson that I wanted also to describe in the relationship between Gopalacharya and Sarvabhumacharya. Because Gopalacharya was very affectionate upon his relative. Although, from devotional terms, it was impossible situation. But because of that feeling for Sarvabhuma, and because Gopalacharya was very dear to Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhuma was delivered. And so it works also that our own Krishna consciousness is awakened by the very kind association with self-realized souls. So again, the verse reads, one who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with his mind, words, and body, and who always offers obeisances unto you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for becoming your unalloyed devotee. Then, of course, Chaitanya's question, why did he change the term Muktipada? awakening of pure love of Godhead, which is the result of devotion and service, far surpasses liberation from material bondage. For those averse to devotional service, emerging into the Brahmani effulgence is a kind of punishment. And it goes on to describe that one great acharya, Prabodhananda Saraswati, said that merging with God's existence is considered hellish by devotees. Because we have these senses, we have individuality, we have personality, these things have to be utilized. If I cannot use them in appreciation of the personality of God, then it's like being put in prison, like being put in a straitjacket. When you want very much to perform activity, you can't, because you're just bound, suffering. You can't move, you can't speak, you can't. That's the position of someone who has merged with the existence of the Brahma-jyoti, merged into the Brahma-jyoti. Their personality is stifled. Their individuality is temporarily held in abeyance. Their senses are completely inert. Any form of activity or expression cannot do it. And how is that any different than being bound and gagged and, you know, just completely restrained from any activity? That's unlawful even in prisons. But some persons want that position because their material condition is so much unbearable to them. So, for those who are understanding and appreciating devotional service, that opportunity to merge in the oneness of God is considered a hellish punishment. And those that are averse to devotional service, that is the punishment that they receive. They're forced to be in that stifling position. The Bhattacharya continued, the impersonalists who did not accept the transcendental form of Lord Sri Krishna and the demoniac who are always engaged in blaspheming and fighting with the Lord are punished by being merged into the Brahmani effulgence. But that does not happen to the person engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. And he goes on describing that there are five different types of liberation. As you mentioned, the Rupa Goswami also nectar devotion. Five different types of liberation. Of these five, I'll read what they are. Salokya means that after material liberation, one is promoted to the planet. Salokya, one means planet. Promoted to the same planet as the Lord. Samitya means remaining an associate of the Supreme Personality of God. Sarupya, Rupa means form. So Sarupya means attaining a four-handed form exactly like that of Lord Vishnu. Sharsti means attaining opulences like the Supreme Lord. And Sayuja means merging into the Brahmani effulgence of the Lord. Merging into the Brahmani effulgence of the Lord is never accepted by Vaishnava, by the Lord. These others can sometimes be accepted if they enhance one's devotional service. Anyway, Sarvabhauma Acharya, his explanation goes on. But basically, he's describing to Lord Chaitanya that he wanted to change this term, mukti, to bhakti. Because when one hears, for devotee, when one hears this term, mukti, they don't want liberation. They're not aspiring to become free from material bondage, because they're already free from material bondage. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. By engaging in bhakti yoga, sagunam samatika and brahmabhuyaya bhakti, one immediately comes to the spiritual platform. The liberated platform is reached by this linking process of devotional service. So the devotee doesn't want liberation. Lord Chaitanya also spoke such a way, intentionally, that they're, because there are misgivings in the heart of every living being that comes to the material world, the material world is filled with different difficulties or suffering, Kali and Shashi. The material world is designed that way, basic misery and suffering. But for the liberated soul, just like if there's a poisonous snake, you break the fangs of that snake, then you can't be harmed by it. You may raise its head and hiss and do all kinds of things to frighten you. But the snake is no longer harmful. When you run into the garden snake, it's harmful. Scary to see the snake still in the grass. But actually, the snake can harm anyone. So, also, these senses that it sources so much problem, misery, and suffering, as well, just by trying to enjoy them, they involve one in the karmic reactions that bring further birth and death in this world. But for the one who's nicely situated in devotional service, that doesn't pose a threat at all. In fact, wherever that individual goes, they're in Vaikuntha, they're in Krishna's association, they're in God's association, because that's their consciousness. Here or there, wherever, because of devotional consciousness, because of service attitude, they're just seeing, here's an opportunity to serve Krishna. Here's a nice flower, let me offer to Krishna. Here is a conditioned soul, let me tell them something about Krishna. Here is some new technology, let me see how it can be used for Krishna's service. Here is some gold, let me offer to the deity, use it in worship of the deity. Because Krishna is to be beautified, I'll take all offering things and offer that to Krishna. I'm not afraid of moving about in the material world for fear that danger is there. The devotee is not hankering for liberation. They're already with it. As long as this devotional service is characterized by renunciation, then knowledge is there. When knowledge is there, that means you know what to do and what not to do. Renunciation allows you to not do what you're supposed to not do, as well as to do what you're supposed to do. That's also an aspect of renunciation. Renunciation, in fact, what the Swami describes is that renunciation is incomplete renunciation. It does not utilize something in God's service which can be utilized in God's service. If you give something up for fear, that you'll become contaminated by that thing. That better than your realization is limited. Better than you remove yourself from it, you can say. But if something can be used in God's service, then that's what we can use. that opportunity. And you should hold on to it and to nurture it very carefully, because it's very rare to be achieved. And it is achieved only by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Their well-wishing on you, on any one of us, therefore, we become soul is different than the queen soul. decomposing what's in your heart is something that, put it this way, decomposing you if you're not self-realized. Decomposing you don't know what is actually beneficial for you or for another human being because you're not at that point of self-realization. In that case, rather than presenting that sound vibration and imposing that sound vibration upon other people as well as upon yourself, better the sound vibration is the sound vibration of inquiry. Better to inquire, just like Sarvaguru Bhattacharya. He was saying this whole explanation of the Vedanta Sutras. Vedanta Sutras are little codes that are very difficult to understand. They're very terse, concise, philosophical statements. So there's so many commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra. So, for 7 days and 7 nights, when you talk about singing a song, Sarvaguru Bhattacharya spent 7 days and 7 nights singing his song, non-stop. And it wasn't helping Lord Chaitanya at all. It was like, you know, it was on his mind, in his heart, not using all those expressions. But it wasn't helping anything at all. It wasn't helping him, it wasn't helping Lord Chaitanya, it wasn't helping making the sutra was clear either. So better to do what he did the next time around, which was he inquired from Lord Chaitanya. Instead of continuing to give his explanation, he inquired from Lord Chaitanya, what is your understanding?